Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, you guys? It's your girl Diva Evans B, and you are now tuned in to the Woman to Woman Show. It is Monday, February the 17th, 2014. We got a special guest coming in today. We have Miss Linda, breastfeeding coordinator from the Lakewood, Washington WIC office. And we're going to be talking about some very, very important issues. We're going to be talking about the importance of breastfeeding and how to be successful at it, and how numbers are low for our African-American women as well. Also, we're going to be talking about the history of WIC. Did you know that the Black Panthers started the WIC program? It's your girl, Diva Ebony B. You're now tuned in live to the Woman to Woman Show. Call us up at 347-850-1521. That's 347-850-1521. And press the 1 button to be heard. Also, jump in my chat room at www.blogtalkradio.com/divaspot. Again, that's www.blogtalkradio.com/divaspot. And chat it up. Just take 2 minutes to build a, to build a profile so you can be able to get your comments in the chat room. We're going to get into some music right here by Mary J. Blige, Feels Good. And when we come back, we're going to have our special guest, Miss Linda, breastfeeding coordinator, live on Woman to Woman Show. Let's go.
I feel too damn good. Hipping in my heels with such swagger. Fellas, how are you?
Check out Diva Mary Kay
on Frontline Friday,
where all hot indie artists and music live. For info, call 908-296-5739.
Welcome back, you guys. It's your girl, Diva Ebony B, and you are now tuned in live to Woman's to Woman Show. The Woman's to Woman Show, make sure you follow us on Twitter at The Woman to Woman Show. Again, that's at The Woman's to Woman Show. I told you guys I was going to have a special guest in the building with us today on the Woman's to Woman Palette. And, of course, we're going to be talking about breastfeeding today, how to be successful in breastfeeding, you know, the importance of breastfeeding. Also, we're going to be talking about the history of the WIC program as well. So, ladies and gentlemen, I want to bring in my special guest. Without further ado, Miss Linda, breastfeeding coordinator with from the Francesca's WIC and Maternity Services in Lakewood. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for us.
Hello.
Miss Linda, welcome. Welcome to Woman's the Woman Show.
Thank you, everybody. Glad to be here. Glad to be connected.
Most definitely. I had the pleasure of meeting Miss Linda at the WIC office in Lakewood. I actually was going there to apply for WIC when I was still pregnant. And she was, at that time, doing a breastfeeding class. And I said, why not? Let me go to this class. And my God, did I learn so much? Was I so inspired? And I was happy to see a sister running a breastfeeding class because I was able to relate. So, Ms. Linda, I'm going to go ahead and turn the time over to you so you can talk about breastfeeding and, you know, the importance and whatnot of it.
Okay. Well, first I'm going to do is I'm going to introduce myself. My name is Ms. Linda, just like Ebony had stated. I work for the Franciscan WIC program in Lakewood. I am the breast coordinator for the Lakewood Clinic. I teach two classes a week. I've been with the WIC program for 15 years.
Nice.
And one of the most important things about me, because I'm African American myself, I service all breastfeeding moms. But statistics state that, you know, our numbers are very low in African American moms. So that is very important to me on trying to connect with my black moms to find out, you know, what are the barriers as far as black moms not wanting to breastfeed. And just to let everybody know, it's not just in black moms. It's in Asian moms, you know, Spanish moms. You know, we have several ethnic backgrounds that do not breastfeed as much as our Caucasian moms.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I do is I do breastfeeding reviews. I, of course, start seeing you when you are pregnant. That's when most of you meet me, is during the time that you are pregnant. If I don't see you in one of your pregnancy appointments, then the next time that you see me as when I do the breastfeeding class. A breastfeeding class is required by every client that comes in the door that is pregnant. And normally the only time that the mom does not have to take the breastfeeding class and we do a one-on-one is if she has breastfed other babies, you know, two, three, and she's an experienced mom. So I do a lot of what do I want to call them? Conferences, breastfeeding conferences. And right now what we're talking about very much is trying to get our numbers up on African-American moms breastfeeding.
Mm.
I had an experience just like all of the rest of you. My first one, my first child, I didn't have the education. I didn't have the education on breastfeeding. I didn't know the importance of it. All I was told was you should be breastfeeding, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a very big, important topic for me. Then once I had my second child, I basically educated myself through my pregnancy. I read, you know, I went to the library. Everything there was about breastfeeding, I read up on it. My second time, I was successful with breastfeeding. I breastfed my second one for 16 months. In doing the appointments at WIC, I've learned so much from all of you because each of you, you know, it's kind of case by case. And in talking to each of you, I find out why some black moms do not want to breastfeed. I think it's also the same dilemma that I came into, just not in the know. Not in the know, not knowing how important it is, for, you know, the child and being able to fight off all those, you know, antibodies and germs that are out there when you're first bringing baby out. A lot of it is in a way that may be being raised. A lot of it is we've got, you know, especially now with the economy and everything, we have moms that are maybe in and out of a place to stay. Maybe they'll stay here with a friend for a while. Maybe they'll stay there with a friend for a while. So it's not as consistent. And that's where I kind of really, in talking to you, come into breastfeeding, because in situations like that, it's actually easier to breastfeed than it is to bottle feed. Because if you're in shelters and other things like that, and there's germs all over the place, and maybe you don't have a stable place to be, your breast milk is always going to be clean to that baby. That milk is going to be convenient. You don't have to look for clean water or somewhere to wash a bottle out. You know, all you have to do is latch that baby on and feed your baby. So that is so important. That way, baby will always be fed. You never have to worry about running out of formula. Another thing about formula is, with WIC, we are eliminating two formulas as of March 1st. And that's going to be our sensitive, a Similac sensitive, and our Similac spit up. So the state more and more is starting to eliminate formula, and because we are a supplemental program only, we do not provide all the formula, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is, you know, there's not enough formula. What we give is not enough to feed your baby for a month. It is the first couple of months because baby is very small, okay? When you breastfeed, you never, ever run out of milk as long as you are latching consistently. And just to let everybody know that, consistently. Sometimes we have to supplement. I would rather a mom to partial breastfeed than not breastfeed at all. Because if you were at least partially breastfeeding, then the formula would be enough, because you're not solely dependent on the formula. Okay. Another thing that comes up a lot is initiating breastfeeding. And when I say initiating breastfeeding, I'm talking about from the start of the hospital when you deliver your baby. When you first deliver your baby, I've found out, you know, from a lot of my clients that in initiating the, when you first initially have your baby, first thing is hospital delivery is very short stay in the hospital nowadays.
Yes, it is.
Back when I had my, yes, it is. Back when I had my children, you know, you were in the hospital minimum 5 days. Now the girls are saying, yes. Now the girls are saying they are out of the hospital. Usually I think you're out of the hospital, like if you have a baby vaginally, like in 24 hours.
Yeah, within 72 hours, out of there. Within 72 hours, yeah.
Yes, and I've also heard some even 12 hours. That's just so unheard of. So that makes a big, to myself, that's a big decrease in initiating breastfeeding and being able to have enough time one-on-one with the lactation nurses, because that's huge. And so when you're having a baby and when you're talking about that first 12, 24 hours, you are so tired and exhausted from having the baby, it's almost impossible sometimes for you to be able to pick up on the lactation nurses coming into your room trying to help you with breastfeeding. So a lot of us are getting, I don't know, anywhere from maybe 10, I would say 15 minutes to max 30 minutes. And that just depends on how much else is going on. Because if you have lactation nurse trying to help you with breastfeeding, you're tired, the baby is still really sleepy, and then somebody else comes in and say, we need to draw some blood or whatever. There's so many interruptions that also hinders the lactation department to really be able to spend the time that's needed with you know, our moms that have just delivered, and not even so much in just our African-American moms, but in all cultures. It's almost too short term.
You're definitely right about that, and I'm glad that you shared that, and we're going to go to the call lines and get some feedback. And if you want to comment, and if you want to comment on what we're talking about as far as breastfeeding and latching and your experience, call us up at 347-850-1521. That's 347-850-1521. And press the 1 button to be heard. All my queens, all my ladies out there, is the Woman's a Woman show. And I want to get you guys feedback on it. Text a friend and let them know that we're live. Let's go ahead and go to the call lines and get some love. Let's see. 862-755. You're now live on Diva Slot Radio with Diva Ebony B and special guest Miss Linda, breastfeeding coordinator. What's your name and where you calling from?
What's good with you, Diva Ebony B? This is your boy, Jersey Hot Me, all this Money Meek. I got my
Hi, Money Meek. Thank you, Money Meek, for calling in. Money Meek, now you do have children, and of course we're talking about this hot topic of breastfeeding and the numbers being low of African American women that are breastfeeding. What is your feedback on that?
Oh man, I mean, you know, that's a big job there. You know, for the woman as a coach, that's definitely a big job for the woman as a coach. And you know, you definitely, I think you need to exercise if you have to do that. You know what I mean? You definitely need proper rest. You definitely got to eat the proper food and, you know, keep prayer, man. You know, and, you know, you got to move right when you're moving like that. Well,
And you're definitely right about that. It's not an easy process, you know, getting up in the middle of the night and making bottles. I'm glad that I'm breastfeeding because it becomes hard on both of the parents, on the mother and the father. Baby is up in the middle of the night. Baby's still trying to find, you know, their sleeping schedule. And, you know, mom rolls over and say, hey, could you go make a bottle? Dad is tired because he has to get up in the morning and work. He's the provider at this point. So, you know, I think it would be, you know, and within that time, you know, the mom and dad can get frustrated with each other. Like, really? I'm tired. You want me to get up and go make this milk? Not only do I have to make this bottle, I gotta get the baby water, the formula, put it in there. And I'm not knocking anybody that's used the formula because I'm supplementing myself. So you got to make the bottle, then you got to put it in the bottle warmer or put it in a pot of hot water, let it warm up. You got to take it out in time before it gets too hot. I mean, shout out to you dads, Money Meek, for being there and, you know, assisting, but it could become frustrating at that time. And if mom is working and dad is keeping the baby at night or in the daytime, you guys are switching schedules. You know, Money Meek, what would be your advice to the dads that's at home with the baby when mom is out or when mom is working to have some type of patience with the child as far as feeding the baby?
Okay, I'm glad you asked that question. That is one of the reasons that I always encourage the moms to bring dads, father of the babies, to the breastfeeding class also, because the more support you have, the more supportive you will be to mom. One question I wanted to, or maybe a comment, you had stated that it's a lot of work and nutritionally mom has to eat healthy, those types of things in order to breastfeed. That's where the WIC foods come in, to let everybody know as a big incentive, you get more foods on WIC, healthy foods, if a mom is breastfeeding and you are on and you receive your foods longer if you are breastfeeding than a woman that formula feeds. The support of a father is everything outside of mom feeding baby. The only demand from a mom is to feed the baby. The dad can change diapers, the dad can bathe, the dad can burp, the dad can rock, the dad can change clothes. Do I need to say any more? So
And the dad is put on the WIC checks as well. So if mom can't go out and pick up the whip,
absolutely,
that name is on there as well.
That's right. He can come pick up for her. When a mom is away, that's why it is important that mom does do some pumping up until baby is able to be solids is able to be added to baby's diet. So when mom is out, you know, remember, a baby can go like 3 hours before they need to be fed, 2-3 hours. Mm. So if mom is out 2-3 hours shopping, oftentimes dad won't have to feed at all. However, if you have a baby because of growth spurts, maybe a little bit of cluster feeding, maybe that needs to be fed a little bit more often because they don't breastfeed as long on the breast, that's when that the pump milk would come in handy for dad. I think a dad always feels more secure if there's something there for him if that mom is away, because dad gets a little bit nervous, and that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. And, you know, another thing, like Ebony had stated, if a mom needs to supplement also, and that sometimes and quite often, you know, is what has to be done, then that's when the baby can have a little bit of formula, is when mom is away,
mm-hmm.
okay? Because mom is normally always going to feed baby before she steps out anyways. Another thing that I wanted to speak on, and Ebony had stated this too, because she's one of my breastfeeding moms, so when she doesn't have to get up through the night, okay, mm-hmm. mom is tired, especially moms that have had C-sections, they're tired, they don't feel like getting up, but baby can still be fed right there next to mom.
Yeah.
She doesn't have to worry about getting up. She has time to rest. She has time to heal. When baby sleeps, she can sleep, you know, but she doesn't have to do the up and down at the beginning that a formula-fed mom would have to do. And I know this for a fact because my first one, I was only able to breastfeed for the first month. And then after that, I had to get up and down, fixing bottles, washing bottles. That is work.
That can cause on to, you know, some stress and depression. Let's go ahead and take a music break, and let's take one music break, and then we come back. We're gonna get into more about the importance of breastfeeding, you know, successful breastfeeding, and the history of WIC and how it all came about. It's your girl Diva Ebony B. You're now tuned in live to the Woman's the Woman Show each and every Monday, 1 p.m. on the West and 4 p.m. on the East. We're gonna get into this nice cut by C. Cole called "You're a Winner," featuring Will C. And it's produced by B. Jackson. Let's go.
Walking to the club, I seen you on the dance floor. I like the way you move. I like the way you move. Knowing that the club is packed, all eyes on you. Baby, you're a winner, so you know I can't lose. You're a winner, baby, I don't plan on losing out. Don't know it yet, but I'm the one that you can hit without a bold statement, cause we ain't never met before. But everything starts somewhere, so let's go. Yeah, you heard right, had me since the first sight. So it's goodbye, or the beginning of the first night. Cause what I see, I like it, wanna get to know you better. I'm a winner, you're a winner, we can celebrate together. Me and you, a party of two. See, I'm attracted to your curves and the way that you move, and the way you carry yourself, you just do you. And that's something that I can really relate to, much more than the physical. Even though I'm digging that nice conversation to accompany that silhouette, and I can't wait to reminisce on a story like this. I was walking through the club, I seen you on the dance floor. I like the way you move, I like the way you move. Knowing that the
the club is packed, all eyes on you. Baby, you're a winner, so you know I can't lose.
Losing's not an option, they hate you, but steady watching. Ignore them and keep walking, we sipping and just talking. Conversation getting good, just a different side of me. Feeling comfortable, like this is where I'm supposed to be. It's loud in here. Slide a little closer to me, wanna hear you talk so I can see where your mind at, where you draw the line at, what make you smile. Let's see if we can find that. I like your reaction, the way you smile just at the thought of me asking. Must be asking the right thing. Nobody knows you better than you, but I'm hoping it might change if I can let the hating past stay in the right lane. Hands are 10 and 2 and watch for signs. I'm just taking in the view and I'm enjoying mine. Yeah, I'm enjoying mine.
I was walking to the club, I seen you on the dance floor. I like the way you move, I like the way you move. Knowing that the club is packed, all eyes on you. Baby, you're a winner, so you know I can't lose.
Radio should be. You can talk about us, but you can't talk without us. Phenomenal Radio.
Make sure you check out Diva Mary Kay
on Frontline Friday.
We're all hot indie artists and music live. For info, call 908-29.
What's going on, y'all? It's your girl, Diva Ebony B, a.k.a. Diva Mary K, a.k.a. or B.K.A. Miss Motivation. We live in this thing, Woman's the Woman Show. Big shout out to everybody that's tuned in live and listening from your tablets, from your PCs, from your phones, from your Macs, all over the world. We definitely appreciate you tuning in. We got our special guest, Miss Linda, live in the building with us. She is the breast coordinator at WIC and at the WIC office in Lakewood, Washington. And we're talking about the importance of breastfeeding and, you know, how to be successful at breastfeeding as well. This is not an easy job, but we are already... You know, we're already prepared. We've been prepared when we first had the baby. I know sometimes, Miss Linda, a lot of ladies ask, and this is one of my concerns, like, am I going to have enough milk in my breast to feed the baby? Will my milk dry up? You know, was this a concern? Or, oh, my God, my breast stopped producing milk. And we do have enough milk to produce it and how it comes about. So I wanted you to shed some light on that as well.
All right. One of the things, that's one of the biggest barriers, I think, in breastfeeding, and this is with all cultures, is do I have enough milk? The first thing that I always like to go over is the more that you latch baby, the more milk you produce. Now, there are some times where even in latching, mom's milk supply will start decreasing for a lot of different reasons. But what you need to do when you are breastfeeding, because we can't see the milk go in and see how much baby's getting as we do in a bottle, you have to go by the diapers. Okay. And if that baby, if you are getting anywhere from 8 to 10 diapers a day, and it's going to be plus even more than that, you know, and probably anywhere from 3 to 5 stools a day, that means baby's getting enough milk. Okay. That's how you would know. You should be able to feel the milk coming into your breast. You know when you need to feed baby. You can feel those breasts filling up.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, and you know that, Ebony. So always remember that also. Oftentimes, moms will substitute pumping only for latching, but you definitely need to latch. If you don't have any medical reasons why you can't latch, you definitely need to latch to keep producing. Yes.
Go ahead.
Ebony. Okay. You definitely want to latch. So you can latch, pump, latch, pump, latch, pump. This is the way you do it to keep your milk supply up. Sometimes when there's medical issues with baby, with NICU, you know, preemies, things like that, sometimes moms have to pump only. But those babies are so little that when they're pumping, more than likely they're being able to pump enough until the baby is able to be released from the hospital, that type of thing, and start latching. Anytime you feel like that you are not getting enough milk or don't have enough milk, that's when you need to give myself a call, WIC a call. We will get you supported so quickly. We will do one-on-one appointments. And what's added on to WIC now that we have at our Lakewood Clinic and or our Parkland Clinic, because we are one agency, is we have what we call breastfeeding peer counselors.
Yep, I definitely wanted to talk about the breastfeeding peer counselors. But let's go to the call lines because we see them with their hands
up. Yes, ma'am.
And we can get into that because that is a great program.
You guys are going to love this program. And I wanted to talk about that. Yes, ma'am.
Yep, let's go to the call lines and get some more love. 862-279, you're now live on Diva Star Radio with Diva Ebony B and special guest Ms. Linda. What's your name? Where you calling from?
My name is Pauline. I'm calling from Jersey.
All right.
Hey, man, how you doing? Welcome, Queen. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm good.
That's good. I thought the milk in your breast lasts up until 5 years after you have a baby.
That's a possibility
for
some women. That's why women are, you know, there are women, and especially in a lot of cultures, that actually nurse their babies till they're 4 or 5 years old.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, because they're able to do that. And I think in my clinic right now, I think my oldest one is 3 and a half that's still nursing.
Mm.
And one of the things that now that you're talking about toddlers and nursing is because they are also eating solids, they're not nursing in demand like a new baby would nurse. And that's why, you know, we have, you know, wet nurses and things like that that have been able to breastfeed babies that for moms that cannot do that. So it goes back to what I was saying. The more you latch, the more you produce.
Right.
So that's why. Yes.
Celine, I got a question for you, Queen, because, you know, it's, especially, and y'all might just laugh at me when I say this, but I think about my baby teeth all the time.
Yes.
I think about the teeth. And I'm thinking about my nipple, and even, you know, she's little. She's only about 2 or 3 months. But
right.
My caller, I forgot your name. What's your name again, caller?
Pauline,
thank you. I was thinking about, you know, as far as they get known, I know we can pump the milk and put it in the bottle. But Pauline, would you feed your child? Would you still breastfeed on the nipple after they get teeth, or would you just be like, you know what, I'm gonna put this in the bottle for you?
I will put it in the bottle because from what I hear, I don't have any kids, but from what I hear, once some teeth come in, girl, they bite down on her nipples.
I've heard of nipples split and getting bitten, and you know, and she's little right now. When I feed Queen sometime, my baby name is Queen. When I feed her sometimes, she looks like she's just like, give me the nipple. And it's kind of scary. I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Passy first. Let's put the passy in
your
mouth.
Let me talk a little bit on that, Ebony. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And like I said, I breastfed my son until he was 16 months old. Now, a baby is always going to be curious. And as we know, their gums are probably almost as hard as teeth. Right. Okay. And that's why we have to make sure that we have that baby up on that areola as high as possible, not down on the nipple, because that's where it will be very uncomfortable if you do that. But when my son first did a bite, because they're curious, then I you know, took my two fingers, released the baby from the breast, okay, stopped the baby feeding at that time. And, you know, babies are very smart, and they know our feelings and our tones very well. Mm-hmm. And when I released my son, I said, no, you do not, no. Okay, so he was about 5 months old, 6 months old. When I told him no, and the tone and probably the look in my eyes, eye to eye with him, he never bit me again.
Well, okay.
Never bit me again. And you know where what I look at on that is, that is no different than when your baby first starts, you know, becoming mobile, maybe going crawling. When they go to the a light socket, a plug-in, are you not going to discipline your baby? You're not going to beat them, but you're going to have that tone in your voice about no. They understand that very, very well. Very well. You'd be surprised. And also, that's why we have, you know, a lot of support at our clinic, because if you're concerned about that, and the first time that happens, and if you're not really sure of what to do, that's when you do call us. And like I said, we have breastfeeding peer counselors also that are awesome. Awesome. Yeah. And a breastfeeding peer counselor, to let everybody know what that person is, that is merely another WIC mom that is breastfeeding or has breastfed, that supports and helps the breastfeeding coordinator and the clinic in general. And she helps support you, helps you, calls you, and you can utilize this person all year round, after hours, during hours. And it's the best thing that we could have ever did in our WIC clinics, was brought on our breastfeeding peer counselors. And Ebony could tell you a little bit about that, too, because she also is hooked up with our breastfeeding counselor.
Yes, I do have my breastfeeding counselor, Christina.
Yes.
Big shout-out to Christina. She was very supportive when I called her, you know, it was after hours when the WIC office was closed, and she was just right on point, and we sat down and talked, and, you know, she was telling me experience with her children. And Paula, do they have that over there in Jersey? Did they recommend, you know, when you went to the WIC office, do they have this program over in Jersey?
No.
Really?
Big shout out to Jersey. I'm coming home in another 3 weeks. I'll be there. But, you know, one thing as far as with the WIC office, and I like Linda. When I met up with Linda, she was so personal with me. She sat down and she talked to me. She cared about my needs as a mother. It wasn't just, is you getting WIC? Did you get your WIC checks? And I think that's a what's going on with, like, a lot of modern day women, you know, are dependent on WIC, and they're using more formalin rather than using our natural milk, because it's kind of made us codependent. Oh, I can get this milk. It's convenient. They're really not talking to us about the importance of breastfeeding, so we're kind of dependent on these WIC checks. And the newer generation has come along, and I was one of them. I'm an 80s baby. You know, it was like, oh, did you go apply for WIC? Nobody said, you know, are you eating healthy? You know, are you eating healthy food so you can be able to breastfeed your baby? Do you know what skin to skin is? Do you know how important the bond is? It's a beautiful thing. You know, I didn't do that with my son.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yes, but I did do it with my daughter. But, you know, now in the generation now that's coming up, it's like, oh, just get WIC. Don't even use your natural milk. And they're looking at it now as breastfeeding just helps you lose weight. This is what's going on. Oh, girl, you want to breastfeed.
And that's a benefit,
girl,
too. That's a benefit for mom.
Yeah, you can definitely lose weight. Yeah, it's a definitely a benefit for mom. But it's like, girl, you better breastfeed
to
get that baby weight off you. Yeah,
Much
helps.
Quicker.
But it much
but
quicker.
Paula,
it
I think you said it was Paula.
Pauline.
Well, Pauline, you guys do have a, you might not have breastfeeding peer counselors, but you should have a breastfeeding coordinator at your clinic.
Yeah.
Okay. So that person is the same support. Is it our breast, our peer counselors are so awesome because they're able to, like Ebony and I were saying, they work after hours. And you
okay.
can call them anytime up till, I think, 10 o'clock at night, mm-hmm. holidays, whatever, when we're closed, and they can coach you, they can support you through the phone, and then they can even set it up to where you have a visit in the clinic when we're open.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Another good
so I'm hoping that you guys will be able to, with time, be able to bring in breastfeeding peer counselors into the clinics there.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yes.
Another great benefit about the with breastfeeding peer counselor, these are mothers that are peer counselors, and they are mm-hmm. hired. They're working.
Yes.
They're getting yes. paid to be
yes.
breastfeeding peer counselors. So it's
yes.
great that you can go from being a client to starting to work. And I think that they have
yes.
to report to the clinic. Maybe they can stay at home and do this with their children
right.
and be at home, but they still have to report to the clinic a couple of times a week. Is this correct?
Right. They do 10 hours a week, and
okay.
they do have to chart everything just like we do. They have to make notes. So whatever conversation Krista has with you, when I pull up your chart, I know that conversation.
Okay.
So see, we work together.
And that's
a beautiful
thing.
The beauty of that. So then
and
if there's any issues that she has noted, when you come in to see me, I would follow up with that.
And that one of the things that comes with being a breastfeeding peer counselor is you get training and you get a computer. Is that correct? They give you a laptop?
Yes, you do. Their laptops are at home. They have state laptops that are at home with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then myself, I do many referrals. That's how you get hooked up with the breastfeeding peer counselors. I will do a referral. I will scan that over to her, and then she has you right there at home in her computer, and then she contacts you.
Well,
so
I
you
think
see the team work there? Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah, and that's to help us get, more moms breastfeeding, because if a mom is having a problem over the weekend, by the time I would see her on that Monday, by the time she'd get to WIC, she's probably already stopped.
Mm-hmm.
But this way, the breastfeeding peer counselor is able to help her and service her and support her over the weekend so that we don't have those drops anymore. And that brings our numbers up for more moms continuing to breastfeed.
Right.
Yes, because if a mom has her baby on that Friday and then she goes home on that Saturday and then she's having some concerns or complications on Sundays, on that Sunday, then she's able to call the breastfeeding peer counselor.
I think that's a wonderful idea. I got a couple more
awesome?
Questions, but I want to throw it over
yes.
to Pauline and see if she has any more questions before I ask my question.
No, I'm just listening. I can cut in if I have any questions about certain things that's being discussed.
Right.
Okay.
And Pauline, I do remember you said you don't have any kids yet.
No, not yet.
And so this is the nice thing about you, because what you're doing is you're getting your education now so that when you become a mother, you're going to be more prepared than those that didn't have any education before.
Right.
This is awesome. Great. Love talking
too.
With you.
Yeah. I mean, and you're now tuning in live to the Woman's the Woman Show. It's your girl, Diva. It's your queen, Diva Ebony B. I got my special guest live in the building with me, Miss Linda, breastfeeding coordinator at the Lakewood Washington WIC Center. My next question is, of course, mommy, we done had the baby. you know, and it's going to come to a point that we want to loosen up a little bit. I want to go out and have a ladies' night. So say I want to have a margarita, but I'm a breastfeeding mom. So now I'm like, oh, I can't drink. You know, I want to have a nice little glass of wine, but I don't want to get my baby drunk, which I know you can't get your baby drunk.
Yes, ma'am.
I'll be baby to be tipsy, you know, the next day. She don't need a hangover. We don't need this. So for those women who want to go out, have a ladies' night and have a little drink or whatever, you know, what would you say to those women? I know that they should be tipping milk before that time, but how long does it take for the wine or alcohol to come out of your system before you decided to start breast pumping or breastfeeding again?
Okay. So you want to probably go with at least about 24 hours. This is when we encourage that you always have some, and this is what I go over when you're one-on-one with Miss Linda in an appointment. You always, because a ladies' night or something out with your man, yes, it's okay to have a little glass of wine or, you know, your margaritas or girls' night or whatever. But always have some milk pumped. Always have some milk in the freezer. At least 24 hours worth. You know, and if your baby refuses a nipple, because oftentimes when you breastfeed, babies will not take bottled nipples. There's other ways you can feed your baby your breast milk by spoon. You could feed your baby with breast milk by a little syringe, the little medicine syringes or something. Yes, you are able to do that. And no, you're not going to get your baby drunk, because basically years ago, moms that didn't know that this wasn't really educated out there years ago. So moms would go out and drink, and then they would come and they would feed their babies when they would come home. Well, it didn't per se harm the babies, but we just know we're a little bit smarter and wiser than that now. So you want to give yourself always at least, you know, 12, 24 hours, just kind of it's out of your system a little bit, and then you're able to start feeding your baby, latching your baby again.
Because actually you can drink a lot of water the next day to get, like, to at least get the some of the liquor out your system as far as urinating.
Right. And so it's not going to harm the baby, because you've basically, you know, slept a lot of that off and everything. You're drinking water. You're back on track with your diet and that again. So it's not going to be as harmful as a mother that's probably, you know, smoking and breastfeeding, which we still encourage them to do that. But, you know, you always want to wait at least an hour after a cigarette before you're actually, nursing that baby again.
Okay.
You don't want to do it right away. You want to make sure you take the smoking clothes off. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And then before you're feeding your baby again.
Wow, we are definitely getting fed and we are getting educated on this. And while we're speaking of being educated on this, I wanted to talk about the history of WIC and how WIC started, because I think it's so important. S. Carly, come on in here so we can educate and regulate. Let's go.
It's time to educate and regulate. On the front line with Diva Ebony B. It's time to educate and regulate. On the front line with Diva Ebony B. Hey, queen, gon' teach you some. On the front line, Diva Ebony B. Hey, queen, gon' teach you some. On the front line with Diva Ebony B.
Big shout out for S. Carly for that hot drop right there. It's time to educate and regulate. I want to talk about the Black Panther Parties. The Black Panther Parties, or the BPP, originally the Black Panther Parties of Self-Defense was a black revolutionary socialist organization active in the United States in 1966 into 1982. The Black Panther Party achieved national and international notoriety through the involvement of the Black Panther Party movement. Did you guys know that the Black Panthers started the WIC program? It was a nutritionist program that they started to help the mothers within the organization with food, milk, clothes, and shelter for cereal. Yes, for the mothers. I think that's wonderful. I think that's so fabulous.
So,
and of course, this information wasn't put out. And it's not just Black History Month. It's Black History Day every day, especially for Diva. But I just think it's just a wonderful thing to know that, because once you start to research it and start to educate yourself, you can put in WIC, and it'll say on Wikipedia that it started in 1973 to 1982, but it goes back to 1976, back to Black Panther.
Wow.
So I want you guys to comment on that thing right there. I'm going to sit back, and Linda, I'm going to let you take a crack at this, because this is fabulous.
Awesome information. Ebony taught me something, actually. I didn't know about the Black Panthers starting WIC in 1966, but I'm going to sure be doing some research on that. What I do know is when WIC started in 1973, and the reason that I know statistics are correct with that is because that's when my daughter was born. And I remember WIC coming by my bedside in the hospital and, signing me up for WIC. And at that time, I really didn't know what WIC was. I had never heard of WIC. I just went ahead and she said, sign up. I signed up. And then she made an appointment to come out to see me and baby. And they check, they go over feeding, kind of like the same type of appointments we do when you come into your initial first appointment at WIC with baby being at least a month old.
Mm-hmm.
And so you guys bring the babies in, of course, at a month old. We weigh, we measure, we certify moms also into a breastfeeding postpartum mom. Well, they did basically the same thing, I guess, but they were charting on their little chart boards, come to the house, bring the mom foods, and then they would bring their measuring boards and their little weigh station and weigh the baby and measure the baby. And so I guess at that time, me being so young and not really knowing, that was an actual certification now that I do what I do. And so that was awesome doing those home visits. I'm quite sure back then there was probably only a handful of people on WIC before it was had become that big like it is now. WIC now is huge, and then the add-on of the, breastfeeding, although when I was originally on WIC in 73, that person helped me with my breastfeeding also, but by the time she came with baby being about a month old, 5-6 weeks old, I had already quit because it was painful for me. So now that we have so many parts with breastfeeding, you just can't miss. When you first come to WIC, when you first have that breastfeeding class, then we have childbirth classes at Joe's. We have lactation, we have peer counselors, we have breastfeeding coordinators, and then we have all of our WIC staff. There's no way you can really miss it now. What's really big and important now, and that's probably what the Panthers that were trying to had started originally doing at that time, is they were probably promoting African Americans. And, and now with what we have now, and then our head state person for breastfeeding at the state WIC office is also African American, and so wow, this thing is just huge, because we really want we really want our numbers up in African American moms. And what we found out is that, and it just makes sense because this was myself also in 1973. Black moms are more comfortable with talking and interacting with somebody in their own culture.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because of upbringing. That's black moms have a lot of shyness in them with breastfeeding, maybe not wanting anybody to see the breast, maybe not wanting another culture to touch their breast, to help them latch. Because I remember when my, and I guess she would have been a certifier at that time, that was a little bit uncomfortable for me. Okay.
Yeah, I would say that would definitely be uncomfortable, and that's
and so that's a big barrier for African
American women.
Yeah,
don't be just grabbing
women.
On my breast.
Right.
Black
and
women,
see, the
we
thing
very
is,
personal. We're a very,
yes, it's
very,
very personal. Now, I noticed when I help one of my people latch, they're fine with that. They're fine with me doing it. But they don't want the Caucasian lady doing that. So because of that, so they feel like if this is part of it, I'm not going to breastfeed, okay? And this is what we're trying to find out. We're trying to get more black staff, not in our WIC in general, but just more black breastfeeding advocates that can help and support African-American moms, and those numbers will come up. Because
yeah,
I
they definitely
big,
will come up. And
they
I
will
just,
come
I didn't
up.
Mean to cut you off. I didn't
no,
mean to
you're
cut
okay.
You off, Pauline, you got a question?
Yes. How when you do the WIC, okay,
uh-huh.
How do they know what kind of milk to put your baby on?
You're talking about formula then?
Right.
Okay. Normally that comes through the hospital, through your doctor, through the pediatrician when he comes in before you're released, you know, to know what formula they want baby on.
Okay.
Most of the formula starts with milk base,
mm-hmm.
which would be your any milk base, whether it be Infamil, whether it be Similac. But normally the milk-based formula. Doctors also prescribe when the baby's NICU or preemie, they have to have a different formula because a prescribed formula because they need the extra calories.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So that normally would come from doctor.
Okay. Because I know a lot of females that I know that had babies, they put the babies on certain formulas like Similac.
Uh-huh.
And the babies were, like, kind of rejecting it, like throwing up a lot.
Yeah,
and
right.
They mm-hmm. take them back and, you
right.
know, they
and then
to put something different.
Right. And then that's when they would talk to their pediatrician. We can suggest things, but talk to the pediatrician on, you know, to let the pediatrician know baby's spitting up a lot, that type of thing.
Yes.
And then they will let them know what the next formula is. However, that's why we also there again promote breastfeeding because, you know, there's one kind of milk. Breast milk digests much easier so babies don't spit up when they're breastfeeding.
Oh, okay.
You see what I'm saying? They don't spit up because your breasts produce enough milk for that baby. Remember one thing. Baby makes the milk, okay? So the more baby latches, the more baby produces. But the baby produces enough milk for baby.
Okay.
And that's why they're not overfed. But when you are formula feeding, oftentimes it's not always the formula. It's because the baby's being overfed.
Oh, okay.
And so if the baby's overfed, that milk has to do what? It has to come back up because
right.
the baby can't tell that mom, I'm too full, I've had enough.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Okay.
So
I think
go.
That's one thing that we need to talk about, too, you know, as far as, like, babies being overfed. And what I came to learn from
right.
going to Miss Linda's class is when the baby first starts out, when the baby comes home, that baby doesn't necessarily need the whole bottle because
no.
they're stomachs when they first come out, you know, the first when they first get here, from the ages like 1 to 7 days, their stomach is the size of a pea or a hazelnut.
Yes, it is.
It's very small. It's the size of
very
a pea
small,
or a
and
hazelnut.
It literally only takes a teaspoon to fill that baby's tummy.
Yep.
Okay. Even if they were bottle feeding. Okay. So that's why babies that are on formula, sometimes the spit up is because they're overfed, because that mom is thinking, that's not enough. I got to give this baby more than that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, baby doesn't know how to say no. So baby will keep eating, and then all of a sudden then they'll spit it all up because they've been overfed.
Right. And then a lot of times, a lot of moms, they think, oh, my baby's crying, the baby's hungry. And that's not always the case, that the baby's hungry. It could be something else.
You have to learn your baby's hunger signs. You have to learn your baby's cues. Mm-hmm. Babies cry for everything, not just hunger, because that's their only way of communication.
Right.
Got you, yeah. So if it's their only way of communication, maybe the diaper is wet, maybe baby's tummy hurts. You know, it's a lot of different reasons why baby cries. And so you need to learn those cues. That way baby doesn't get overfed.
That's right.
Yeah.
The next thing you know, you got a super wrestler.
Wow, this is so wonderful.
And sometimes baby just want to have some social time with you.
They do. They
just
want to cry. They cry for every reason. That is the way they communicate. But
yeah,
you have to learn that's why you have to learn what their different cries are. You know, because and it's easy for a bottle-fed baby, for a mom, anytime a cry comes out, they just want to stuff that bottle in the mouth.
Or the panty.
You know?
Knock it off.
And that's not good.
Knock it off. That's what I'm going to say right now. Knock it off.
And that's why you have those one-on-one appointments with WIC about feeding. We talk to you about feeding before you even deliver your baby. And then initially, after you deliver the baby, we talk about feeding again. And how many ounces are you giving that baby a day? And we can tell you if you're underfeeding or overfeeding. Weight is a big factor. When I weigh the baby, if a baby is underfed and drops on the growth chart, you basically are not giving, baby's not being fed enough. If the baby's way over the chart somewhere, you're probably overfeeding.
Okay.
Yeah.
One thing I wanted to talk about too is if the baby is far as latching is a job. That is
it's a job.
Job.
It
but
is a job.
One thing you want to do is before you latch the baby onto the breast, you want to just wipe your breasts off with a warm cloth. You don't need
you
to have
do.
Soap and water. Yeah, you always do because it's going to take from the smell. The baby identifies your smell, so you just want to take a warm cloth. And I know some women are like, Diva, I got to wash. Ebony, I got to be. You know, you don't want to wash your breasts. You
no,
just
you don't have to.
Cloth. You don't need to
when
get
you
all
take
that
your
nice
shower that morning and stuff. You're fine.
Yeah,
you're
fine.
And like you said, a warm rag, you know, and just wipe the breast off is fine.
Yeah, keep your smell. Keep your smell for the baby to identify. The baby don't need to smell your Victoria's Secret, your bath body.
Yeah, you shouldn't have the perfumes and stuff. And that's, you just really shouldn't have all that on. They don't need all those smells. And that's hard on their noses, too.
Yeah,
that
young. It is.
That's hard on their noses.
It was hard for me to really latch. It took me almost 5 days to get Queen to latch on the breast.
And that's one of the things that I really like that I'm able to do and I enjoy doing. I enjoy helping mothers latch because that was my dilemma with my first one. I didn't know how to latch.
Yeah.
And latching is huge. You have
and
to
you
get that
courage.
Right first. Yes.
You got to
so that
keep
you're
trying.
Comfortable and the baby's comfortable.
You got to keep trying. I looked at it as like I'm putting the earring in my ear, the hoop earring.
Right, same
with the
thing.
Back. And you got to keep, you just got to keep getting at it. And eventually they will latch on because every time you do it and you keep putting it in their mouth, they're learning more.
They
and
are
more
learning and
more
you are learning.
Yeah, they can get a little fussy and frustrated and drop a couple of tears. You're going to drop a couple of tears, but don't worry about it.
It's okay. It's okay.
It's definitely okay.
It's very much so okay, and that's why you have so much support with breastfeeding peer counselors, with breastfeeding coordinators, with all WIC staff, with lactation. We love to be able to help moms latch because that's usually the biggest barrier out there is getting that latch right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. Ms. Linda, I want to thank you so much for coming.
You are
to
so
the
welcome,
show.
And I thank all of you for allowing me to speak and to talk about this because this is what's going to help us grow.
Yes.
Most definitely. As women, we have to come together, woman to woman. We coming together right here on this platform. You can always download this show and listen to the show, archive the show after it ends and share it with another sister. Woman to Woman show is all about building confidence, building networks, and building relationship with other women. We can come together and build a more stronger society. Women, we do have value, and we are very, very important. So you guys follow me on Twitter at Diva Ebony B. That's at Diva Ebony B. If you want to be a co-host on the show or if you have a topic that you want to talk about, all you got to do is call your diva at 908-296-5739. Again, that's 908-296-5739. Or you can just send me an email at divaspotent1@gmail.com. Again, that's divaspotent1@gmail.com, and I'll definitely get back to you. Ms. Linda, let them know how they can contact you or get more information about breastfeeding in your classes and the times that you do it.
Yes, ma'am. Just to let everybody know, I teach breastfeeding classes along with my breastfeeding peer counselor every Tuesday, every other Tuesday and Thursday of the month. If anybody needs to contact me, you can reach me at area code 253-588-9597. 253-588-9597. And if you ask for Miss Linda, they will transfer you to my phone. Thank you, everybody, and thank you for having me, Ebony.
No problem. We're definitely going to have Miss Linda come back for a part two later on next month or when she gets time. We'll definitely rebook her to come to the show because it's such an important topic. You guys, make sure you keep God first, family second, and career third. Tune in with me live this Friday on Frontline Fridays where we showcase, interview, and promote nothing but the hottest artists, independent artists in and out of the industry. We will have C. Cole, working independent Texas artist, live in the building and showcasing his music. We're about to get out of here with this hot track that you're hearing behind my beautiful voice by L. DeBarge Jr. It's your girl, Diva Ebony B. I'm out of here.
The show is not open, right?
Make sure you check out Diva Mary Kay
on Frontline Fridays,
where all hot indie artists and music live. For info, call 908-296-5739.